Okay, so this is the last week of our excursus. We took a detour into John. We're studying through the book of 1 John, but we took a detour partly because of the busyness of life in the last few weeks, but also John, the Gospel of John, has much overlap with the Epistle of John, the first Epistle of John. So that's we're highlighting things that relate, and you'll see even today how these will relate to next week. Next week, we will get back to 1 John 1:5. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So that's where we'll be next week. Today, you'll see how this ties in again. We're going to look at John chapter 8 and John chapter 12. Jesus speaks about the light. We looked at chapter 1, Jesus being the light of the world. We looked at John chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. Last week, we looked at John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21, where Jesus said, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. The issue with mankind is not because they lack information. They simply lack a desire to respond to God's light. So we're going to hinge on that today. Jesus finishes up speaking about light. He mentions it in John chapter 8, verse 12. And then he mentions it once in John chapter 9, which overlaps with what he's already said. So we're not looking at that. And then we're looking at John chapter 12. He does not speak of light anymore in the book of John, the Gospel of John, after John 12. It obviously shows up in different places, however. So other than that review, let's get right into it here. The title of the message is, How Do I Respond to the Light of the World? How am I to respond? Last week we were evaluating our response. Are we not going to the light because our deeds are evil? Are we not reading in the Word of God regularly? Are we not assembling together regularly because our deeds are evil? Because it's not the lack of opportunity, it's a lack of choice. Today we're going to look into a little more detail about what Jesus says, and even about the urgency and the limited amount of time we have to respond to the light. So let's look at John chapter 8, verse 12. And these are in your notes here, so it's right there for you. But this is a very familiar verse probably to you. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I was just going to preach on this, but I thought chapter 12 added adequately that it needed to be there. But let's look at 4 points here, and I do have blanks for you in some of the points today. But number one here, Jesus is the source of the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. There's no other source of truth. There's no other source of information that is wholly reliable and accurate than Jesus himself. And this would be, if you will, pure truth, what is actually true rather than suspected to be true, what we think might be true. Some of us here, I'm sure we've all been there, we've thought something and maybe even rather strongly about, and we find out later we're absolutely wrong, right? That happens regularly in life. That never happens with God. He's the source of truth. Jesus is the source of light. You cannot get right information unless Jesus is the foundation of that information. Jesus reveals what is true and false, what is right and wrong, what is real and fake. And we'll get into more of that as we describe light and darkness next week. But Jesus is the source of light. So we need to know Jesus, we need to be in a relationship with Jesus, and we need to listen to Jesus. Now today, Jesus doesn't talk to us audibly, but we have 66 books, 1,189 chapters in the English Bible that are for us to learn and grow by. He's given this light to us on purpose, for a purpose. We look further in John chapter 8, verse 12. The world is the scope of the light. Notice he says, I am the light of the world. Now, what does this mean? We're not talking about the earth. We're not talking about the physical globe that we're on, right? The round planet. He's talking about the people in the world. And notice he's the light of the world, not just certain people in the world. He's the light of the entire world. And we have light, and I'm sure we've discussed this before, but there's general revelation, or even today, I'm looking at this beautiful cloudless blue sky on the way in. I like clouds, and I like blue sky. I do not like a cloud-covered sky like we've had the last couple days. I like to see some sunshine. But it is just amazing to see, and you, the more you see creation, the Bible says you cannot deny that there's a powerful God. That's in Romans 1. It's self-evident. That's general revelation. And the more you look out into the universe, all these telescopes that are giving us different pictures, but also deeply down inside, it is just amazing how things happen, right? Atom, we get the word atom from a Greek word meaning to cut. The A in front means not to be able to cut. And the last time I knew, there was like over 100 subatomic particles. We keep discovering more smaller pieces as well as outwardly, right? So the scope is of light is general revelation is there for all, but also to a large degree, and even now in our day, it's almost hard not to have access to the truth if you want it. Between the internet and the radio and all other sources of information, that it's, I think people are overwhelmed to the point where it prevents them from studying. They just look for the answer rather than study to see what is true. But we have sources of information. But we also, we have the Word of God that ultimately goes out, and that is the light of the world. General revelation will not tell you everything you need to know to get to heaven. It'll tell you about God, and it'll somewhat tell you about mankind. If you want to see about sinfulness in mankind in a microcosm, just go driving. Because people drive and ignore the law. They think that they should be able to drive through the red light because they're more important than everyone else at that red light. That's a prideful, sinful attitude, really, right? That's what it is. I'm first among everyone else kind of thing. Just lots of different attitudes. But so you can see that even in general revelation. But the Bible tells us about Jesus specifically, our sins specifically, God's holiness specifically, and ultimately our need for Jesus as the sin bearer, the one who died on the cross for our sins, to pay for our sins. But the world is the scope of the light. I believe that the world needs to hear the truth because Jesus is the light of the world. He's not just, as some would say, you know, to the elect or whatever. And it's like, well, number one, you have no idea. If you understand elect the way some people do, you don't even know who the elect are. So that's really not your scope anyway. So you can't play God. But if you believe in a different way, that you believe that God appeals to everyone to come and be saved. The world is the scope of the light. And it's not just light for salvation. It's light for sanctification. It's light to help us not only be rescued from our sin and the penalty of our sin, but it's also light to be able to walk by. Notice this. Number three, how do I benefit from Jesus' light? Notice he says, he who is following me, this is present tense, so that's why I have following on here. He who is following me shall not walk in darkness. Right? If you are following Jesus, you will not be walking in darkness. You will not walk in darkness in the sense that you will be able to have the Jesus light shed on what you think, what you say, how you behave, what the world is saying, and examine it based upon what the true light says. Jesus helps you to evaluate everything based upon what he has revealed in his word. Okay. How do I benefit? You have to follow. You don't get to sit and ignore Jesus and then access truth occasionally. It doesn't work that way. You follow Jesus. And if you follow Jesus, you will not walk in darkness or walk by darkness. I came upstairs last night after studying, finishing, and my office is rather bright. It has fluorescent lights. I'm in the basement, so I walk through a dimly lit hallway, but there's enough light that I can navigate. But when I get upstairs and walk into the living room, it is, for my eyes, pitch black. So I might as well be blind. But I don't like walking in darkness because even though I know where the furniture is and all of that, it's just possible that I could kick something, you know, wreck a really good shin or something like that, a stub a good toe or whatever. And, you know, so darkness is not good. No one wants to walk in darkness. But listen, the world walks in darkness. They cannot see what is actually true. They cannot see what is actually morally right. In fact, that is very evident today, how we've turned the world upside down because we've rejected God's light. Then there's nothing left but foolishness. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Wiser than God. We don't need God's information. We don't need God's revelation. But we need to be following Jesus. It's an active lifestyle, not a passive one. It's not a coming to church once a week lifestyle. It's an ongoing following Jesus, as David said in the song. We're surrendering to him continuously, and we're resolving not to follow the world continuously. Those are ongoing choices. We make the choice to go one direction toward Jesus, but we have to stay on that direction. We have to resolve not to turn around and go the wrong way. And if for some reason we do, we end up in a ditch or something, we need to confess our sin and get right back on that path and keep following Jesus. We'll get into that more when we get into 1 John 1:9 and the verses around that. It's a lot different than what you think. It's better than what you think. Okay, but it's stricter than what you think also. How do I benefit from Jesus' light? By following. And what are the benefits of Jesus' light? There's two listed here. He says, shall not walk in darkness. We don't want to be ignorant of what is true and false, what is right and wrong, what is real and fake. I might come up with a few more, but all of this pertains to the light. We have artificial intelligence today. It's going to get harder and harder to understand what is real and what is not real. Right? But the word, from a visual perspective and an audio perspective. For our friend, the Word of God, God tells us what's true and false, right and wrong, that's moral. And then there's also real and fake, right? Which is a type of true and false. But if you're following Jesus, there's a negative result in that you will never be walking in darkness. You want to know what is true. You don't want to live by what is not true. You don't want to be directed and treated by the world's placebos that have no value at best and at worst lead you in the wrong direction, right? The world will lead you in the wrong direction by much of the psychology and treatments and even the idea of what they tell you about what's right and wrong, true and false. The negative result is that you'll never be walking in darkness. As you follow Jesus, he will lead you in the right way through his word, not the wrong way, the world's way, which is darkness, And we're not talking about physical darkness. We have the sun. It's informational darkness. It's truth darkness. They're living in falsehood by falsehood. They're living by their flesh, by their urges, and by what their human mind resolves to be true when it really isn't. Also, another result is the positive, is having the light of life. The light of life. The word life deserves its own sermon, if not more. But the light of life, the word life, I'm trying to remember how many times it's used. Quite a few. I did a couple different word studies, so I'm a little confused. But it's 70-some or even more than that. But at least a good half, maybe two-thirds, relate to eternal life. In fact, the word eternal is attached to it. Right? Everlasting life or eternal life. Same word in the Greek. If you see the two, it's an identical word. It's just a different way to translate it. But it's talking about what we think of it. Eternal life, as Jesus said, I was reading in John last week in my Bible reading, John 17, and this is eternal life, that they may know the Father. It's a relationship, not just an extent of life, right? It's not how many years you live. That's not how eternal life is measured. Eternal life is measured by the ability and capacity to interact with God as God originally had intended. Right? That idea of relating to God. And even the idea, you probably need to purge the idea of eternity from your mind with regard to eternal life in one sense. And listen closely here. Everyone on the face of this earth that has ever been on the face of this earth will exist forever, according to the Bible. So you don't live forever because you're saved. It's how you live forever. Does that make sense? You don't exist forever because you're saved. We have that concept, you know, don't you want to live forever? And it's like, well, according to the Bible, unsaved people, those that have rejected the truth of God, the light of God, will be cast into the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. It's an eternal punishment, just like the Bible talks about eternal life. It's the quality in which you exist. Do you exist in the presence of God or in the absence of God? Do you exist in the bliss and blessing and benefit of God? Or do you exist eternally in the absence of God with the punishment of God on you forever and ever and ever? Right? Eternity is built into who we are. We're in the image of God. And we're going forward. We never cease to exist. It's where we end up and why. Okay, that's a big factor here. But having the light of life, we have the light of eternal life that we know God. And we can get to know Him more and more. And there's some hard passages in John, but the Bible says He will come and dwell with us as we walk with Him. That's different than salvation. He will make His home with us as we learn to walk with Him, right? And I can't even fully explain that right now, but it's there in John. Like I said, I've been reading in John in my Bible reading. But understand that there's maturity, there's sanctification, there's growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus that comes because we have eternal life. You cannot have that. You don't get the light of life without knowing the light, the one who is light, right? So you have the light of life. So you're able to right now, it's not talking about eternity, though it's still true in eternity, but right now you're able to see what is true rather than what and what is false, what is right and what is wrong, because you have eternal life. That is part of salvation. Now, we learn and grow by that. It takes time to learn and go, you know what, I'm thinking wrongly on that. I need to change the way I see things. I need to change the way I'm thinking that way, right? That's a process, but you can't do that apart from the light of the Lord, which is in the Word of God. It is the Word of God. So John chapter 8, verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world, right? He's the source, and the scope is the entire world. Everyone in the world can benefit from the light of God if they would only respond to God. How do I benefit? And this is primarily, it's true of everyone, but you don't become a follower until you become a believer, if that makes sense. But following is a believing term. And then the benefits, never walking in darkness, you know what's right and wrong, true and false, real and fake, and positive, having the light of life. You have the insight, because you have the Word of God, to be able to evaluate what is true and false, right and wrong, real and fake. But you have to be in the Word of God, right? It's not automatic. It's not owning one that makes the difference. It's reading one that begins to make that difference. Now let's move to John chapter 12, verses 35 and part of verse 36 here. And I've split the verses and put them under the points for space considerations in your notes. Number 5 here. This is something that comes out. We must respond to the light promptly. And that's what something Jesus adds in verse 35. Okay? Verse 35 says, then Jesus said to them, a little while longer the light is with you. Now he's speaking directly about his own physical presence. Without a doubt. He's talking about himself first. But I think there's a secondary application. Do you know that there are things that distract you from the truth? So what you learn today, you either embrace that and do something with it, or it'll fade from your mind. Have you noticed? Have you noticed how you forget things? And it's like, I don't even remember what I don't remember anymore. Anyone with me on that? Sam's like, yeah, I'm there with you. There's a 3-step erase process. I don't know what it is. I take 3 steps and everything's gone out of my mind. It's like one of those, what do you call them? Etch-a-sketches. Yeah, my brain. I think your brain becomes more of an etch-a-sketch over time. My own experience anyway. But you can't keep it in your mind. There's a fade factor. I remember years ago, my wife taught a woman's class on, was it Proverbs 31 or Titus 2 kind of information. And one of the gals, and I don't remember who it was, I just remember my wife telling me this was a perspective. But she says, I don't have time to really learn this now. I'll learn it later. That is self-deceit. Would you agree? Because later is always busier. I don't know if you noticed that. I've heard this before, and sorry if it sounds like I'm picking on college students. I've just heard it because I've pastored around college students quite a bit. But they said, well, I will serve God when life slows down, when I get out of college. And I'm like, where did you hear that life will slow down when you get out of college? Life has never slowed down. I've never been bored since I was 18. Right? It doesn't slow down. It becomes more complicated and more deep and broad when you start paying your own bills and your body starts breaking, you know, whatever the case may be, or children or whatever. Job preparations, job whatever. Built, you buy a house and all of a sudden people have said, you don't own a house, the house owns you. There's a little bit of truth to that. Because all of a sudden you have to fix things that you never owned before. Right? All of that. That goes with that. But we get busy, but we will not get less busy over time. You're hearing this now. This is your opportunity. And I say this truth or whatever truth you're hearing presently, whatever you're reading in the Bible, is the time to work on that in your life. Because you won't have extra time tomorrow. You have the same amount of hours tomorrow. Sufficient is for the day is the evil thereof, I think Jesus said. in Matthew 6 in the King James, right? There's plenty to go on tomorrow. You punt to tomorrow, then you have 2 days worth of things. You keep punting, you'll never learn the Word of God. So you need to learn the Word as you have it, the light that's revealed to you. You need to wrestle with it now. In our culture, our Christian culture, we have a listen and leave mentality. Would you agree with that? Whatever you can impress on my brain, whoever's behind the pulpit person, whatever you can impress on there is all that's going to happen. Otherwise, I got plenty to do this week. And it's like, that's not the purpose of this at all. This is to give you things to chew on and work in, right? As eloquent or non-eloquent, I'm at the non-eloquent end of things, but whatever it is, that's what we need to focus on. We get too involved in podcasts and radio programs and all that. We don't have time to actually learn anything because we're too busy listening and leaving it, right? So we have a little while and the light is with us. That's true even in Ecclesiastes 12. It says, remember your creator in the days of your what?
Youth.
Before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in these years. And it talks about your body breaking down. You have a better mental capacity today than you will have tomorrow. And let me tell you, you have a better mental capacity now than you will 20 years from now. Remember the Etch-a-Sketch thing? It's more true than you realize. Right? You can't retain what you do. So you have to use what you have now with the truth and work it into your mind now so that it can be used of God to mature you and grow you and help you to encourage and help others. And also to reach your neighbors and friends and even your enemies with the gospel. So we must respond to the light promptly. We don't always have it. One other place in Scripture, and some will disagree with how they see this, but the parable of the seed and the sower. Remember that? There's four ground. There's the seed is the Word of God. It's the same seed. Then there's the stony ground and the... No, it's the hard ground, the stony ground, the thorny ground, and the good ground. Remember that? I think it's in three different Gospels. Well, I would understand that the three of them to be believers. In fact, in the stony ground, it says they believe for a while, but because they have no root, they fall away. Well, I don't believe you can lose your salvation. I believe that salvation comes by belief. But if you're not mature, it's easy to fall away. It's easy to give up when difficult times come. That's what the context is there. But the one thing you see is in that first ground, that hard ground, this has to do with the gospel, but I think it's true even on Sunday mornings. The seed is the Word of God. And the devil comes and snatches it away so they will not believe. The devil, how does he do that? And I pondered this. The Bible doesn't delineate. But I believe that the devil distracts people. You know, it's squirrel, kind of like that. And all of a sudden, it's out of your mind. You walk out these doors, and unless you have some kind of mechanism or method to evaluate and listen or think about what's there, even if it's just reviewing your notes, that's why I like to, notes have lots of benefits, but one is to let you to even just go through it, but we put them online and all that too. And I'm not just saying Kevin is brilliant and you need to listen to him, but I'm saying I'm here to help you learn these things. But the Bible says that the devil snatches it away. How does he do it? He distracts us. And we live in an era of distraction. How many have a cell phone? Can that distract? I hate cell phones. I like cell phones. Cell phones are the freedom for my wife and I to actually be able to go out on a date and leave our kids at home, so if the house was on fire, we could return, right? Rather than not know about it. You know, that was years ago now. But I'm saying there's so many distractions, and there's things that draw us away. And I'm saying we have to filter through them because they aren't necessarily bad, but they are distracting us from the Word of God. If we don't have time to read the Word of God, 50-some hours of time in a year to read through this, that's not very much, right? And it's like 15 minutes a day. I take a little longer. Jane takes a little longer to read through it. But it's still there. But if we don't, it's not because we don't have time. It's because we're choosing to be distracted by other things, right? And sometimes they're very legitimate, like funerals and things like that. Other times it's just things we don't care. We have other things we want to do. But the devil distracts us and keeps us from the Word of God. And this is the light. This is how we grow. This is how we change. The other thing is, and you see it in the thorny ground, is he says, Jesus says, the seed that falls among the thorns, it falls among the thorns, and the cares can be translated worries. We know what worries are. Riches, stuff. You know, you buy something, you have to shine it up. You have to take care of, you know, the more we have, the more it takes of us to have it. Cares, riches, it could be pursuing jobs, pursuing whatever. And again, none of those are illegitimate on their own. But are they keeping us from being fruitful? Cares, riches, in any way, shape, or form, and pleasures of this life. You've heard me say this already here, but we were even talking about Joseph. He needs to get his license because he needs to be able to drive stuff. When you're homeschooled, you never drive, right? There's no reason to go anywhere. But I said, Sunday mornings are great because no one's out on the road. You could drive to church with your eyes closed. But people will be busy today with pleasures. They will be out and about. It's not a lack of their car not starting or their health not being good. They'll just be doing something they want to do rather than what God has said they should do as believers. But the cares, riches, and pleasures in the thorny ground choke them so that they what? Become, they're alive, but they become unfruitful. They don't produce anything for God. They're too busy with their cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. Right? That's what the Bible teaches. We need to respond to the light promptly and make decisions decisively so that we are not distracted or choked. Okay? Number 6 here. Believers are to be walking by the light. Now, this is believers. It kind of goes in a reverse order in the text here. But believers are to be walking by the light. The Word of God is to govern how you earn money, how you spend money, how you care for your house, what house you buy, what car you buy. And you're just like, it doesn't tell you what square footage or what the sightings. I'm not saying that, but it's the purpose that you exist is governed by this. One of the passages that I think it's the one Joseph read, that Jesus said, to follow me, you take up your what? Your cross. That's self-denial. It's saying no to many things and following him. That is what followership is about. Walking by the light is saying, you know what? This distracts me. This chokes me. This keeps me from being a good neighbor, a good witness, a good Christian. And it should cause us to stop things and start things, right? Resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight, I surrender all. That's the idea that the Word of God is intended to lead us. Believers are to be walking by the light. Walk while you have the light. That ties into number 5 there. Lest darkness overtake you. I read this a few weeks ago. I had to turn to it. But it's Hebrews 3, and I'll just read it for you. But to reiterate what I said before, it says, this is Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. You can just scribble this on the side of your notes here. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. I don't believe that has to do with salvation. I think it has to do with dedication. It has to do with surrendering all as opposed to doing what I want to do. Live by the darkness rather than the light. Let me start again. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. I think that's functional. You're not doing what God says. You're not thinking what God says. You're not speaking what God says. That's what we end up with. And it goes on to say, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. That's what it says here. Lest darkness overtake you. And I'm not pointing just to you. Us. As a believer, darkness can overtake you. Have you known believers that have given up on God? We could probably list many. Now, we could say, well, maybe they're just not saved. And that's possible. But there's also believers that get overwhelmed in darkness and they just give up on God altogether because their input is not the Word of God. Their input is the darkness of the world. Whether it's in music, any forms of entertainment, sports, whatever, job, it could be any realm, right? But the way the world spins it, it's darkness. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. If we are not in the Word of God and guided by the Word of God, we really are walking blindly. And that is very important to understand. We can say, well, I go to church every week. Well, okay, you get a little bit of light, but it's not very much light. And I hope you don't eat once a week, physically. That might work for me as a diet program. But we couldn't survive on once a week, not very well. But yet we treat our spiritual life that way, right? And God says daily, we're supposed to encourage one another daily while it is called today, lest we're hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. If we're not in the light, we are in the darkness. There's no middle ground, okay? Here's a couple things here that I highlight. Forgot these were here, actually. Light keeps us from control of the darkness. If you have light, walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you, right? Light keeps us from control of the darkness. We said, kind of explained that already. And then light is intended to direct our lives and avoid confusion. If you walk in darkness, you don't know where to go. And by the way, you probably heard this over and over before, but our heart is deceitful. You know that? You can talk yourself into anything. And desperately wicked. Sam, I don't mean to tell you the straight out truth, but your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Just like mine is. And I will come to the wrong conclusions relying on my heart. And I grew up in church, so there. You know, or whatever I can say. I went to Bible college, so there. It doesn't matter. I need the light of the Word of God to make right decisions. You know this passage. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on what? Your own understanding. If you're not seeking what God says, you are leaning functionally on your what? Own understanding. I don't care what God says. I've decided already. Right? With that deceitful, desperate heart of ours. So light, God's light is intended to direct our lives and avoid confusion. Number 7 here. The first step for each of us is to believe in the light. Right? Jesus says this, while you have the light, believe in the light. That you may become what? Sons of light. Believe what God says about Jesus, about Him being your sin bearer, the one who took your sins and my sins on the cross, so that you may become sons of light. The Bible uses that terminology, but we become the children of God when we believe. And that's the first step. That's where you start. You can't be a follower unless you're a believer. Now we're jumping down just a few more verses to John 12, 46 through 48. But the purpose of the light. The purpose of the light is not to make us smart. The purpose of the light is to change us. We are to be believing in and living by the light. So if my Bible was a flashlight, am I using the flashlight that God has given me to shine light on what I think, what I say, how I decide, where I go, what I do? Right? If you're not picking up your flashlight, I'm not saying that's your intention, but you're functionally walking in darkness. Because we have a lot to learn and grow by, and we have that fade factor, remember? I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. God doesn't want us to live in darkness. It's an ongoing believing what God says and then living by what God says. That's the purpose of the light. What's the point of having the Bible if we are not reading, learning, and living out what God says? It misses the point. It's like having a car, but you never drive it. It just misses the point of the car, right? As a metaphor there. Number 9, Jesus' desire is to save the world. I've commented on that before today already. Verse 47 says, "And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him." It's interesting that Jesus didn't come to judge when he first came. He says, "For I did not come to judge the world, but to what? Save the world." So notice the world is mentioned. Anyone is mentioned and all of that. The first time, right? Jesus desires to save the world. Just so you don't misunderstand, and Jesus said this in John chapter 3 last week, we looked at this. "For God did not send his son into the world to what? Condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Saying kind of the same thing here, Jesus is. But ultimately, notice this. Believe now or be judged later. It's not like God says, "Well, if you want to join my team, that's okay. And if not, that's okay too. All is well." No, it's a command to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a response that we are required to do if we are going to be saved. God wants to save each one of us, but we need to respond and believe that. But if we do not, eventually God will use that same invitation to judge us, because he will say, you were told about the light and you rejected the light, and therefore you are not saved, you are not rescued. You will die in your sins and you will exist forever in the lake of fire, as is our just due apart from salvation, right? Verse 48 says, "He who rejects me," doesn't believe in me, "and does not receive my words, has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." If you believe on him, you're not condemned. You believe not, you're already condemned. You're under the wrath of God and you will be in the lake of fire. And every one of us deserves that. Jesus came to save us so that we would not face that, right? So two responses here, two takeaways. Have you responded to Jesus in belief as your sin bearer? Jesus loves you. He died for you and me on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. And we don't fully understand that, but the Son of God took on humanity, took on flesh so that he could die so that Kevin would not have to go to the lake of fire. And so that you do not have to go, the world does not have to go to the lake of fire. But we have to accept that. We have to believe that Jesus is who he says he is and did what he said he would do. He died on the cross and he rose again. And the Bible says if we believe on him, we are saved. We are rescued. It applies to us. And lastly, are you walking as a believer by the light? Are you walking by the light as a believer? Because that is the intent and purpose of the Word of God. That is the intent and purpose of studying the Word of God in the many places that it goes on throughout the world, oftentimes on Sunday, but not always. But are we studying the Word of God? Are we learning the Word of God? Are we living out the Word of God? That is the point of the light, is to respond to the light and reorder our thinking according to the light and reorder our life according to the light. Are you walking by the light? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do ask that you would help us. We know that when we have the light, we don't do so perfectly. Lord, we confess that we sin regularly. We know that we have the flesh, but Lord, we know that we can overcome that more and more as we grow and change in light of the Lord Jesus. Lord, you help us to avoid places that tempt us more. You help us to make good choices to send us on a better path. Lord, you help us just to simply say no when we're tempted. And Lord, you help us to say yes to what is right and true and good. And Lord, you fill our lives with opportunities to do good and do good works, and help us to do that. And Lord, ultimately help us to be light and salt in the world so people can be saved and become believers and followers of Jesus as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.